January 21st, 2023 AD. If it's 8 o'clock on Saturday morning, it's time for This Week in Waukesha. I'm your host, Don Brown, coming to you live and local from the office of former Alderman Don Paul Brown, also known as the Walk Radio Studios here at 217 Wisconsin Avenue in the NAMI building, right around the corner from Theodore Yeoman's Park, where we are proud to honor our suffragette heritage. And a lot of things in the news over the past couple weeks, and perhaps one of the biggest developments for our local sports has been the there was an appeal meeting, I think that was January 7th or the 12th, and during that appeal process with the WIAA, one of the revisions was to move Waukesha South and North out of the Classic 8 and into the Parkland Conference. And here to talk about it is our head varsity coach for South, Darnell Wiltz. Welcome, Coach. How are you?
I'm good. How about yourself?
I'm doing great, thanks. Yeah. So, hey, so, you know, we've talked about this in the past that we're clearly outmatched.
Absolutely.
In fact, I caught a video of the hearing, and Dan Schreier referenced your article, Enough is Enough, that showed all the metrics that demonstrate that we clearly don't belong in the Classic 8 for the health and safety of our kids, as well as an equitable playing field. We need to be out of the Classic 8.
Absolutely.
So if everything goes through, there's a March 7th Board of Control meeting where they will vote to hopefully approve these amendments. If that goes through, what are the other benefits? What does this mean for Waukesha South other than the obvious?
It's huge for Waukesha South. It kind of levels the playing field. And not saying these other teams are slouches at all, but they have similar numbers to what we have. So, for instance, we can play a varsity football game with 35 varsity players in this conference because the team that we're playing, they have 35 varsity players and not 65 varsity players.
Sure.
We can play a JV game with 25 because they have 25 JV players, you know, so it's evenly matched and spread out. So now we can develop players as sophomores instead of bringing sophomores up to the varsity when they're not ready. And then what happens is they get hurt and they don't come back.
Right.
You know, so that's just putting kids that's not ready to play at a high level in way too early.
Sure.
And that, as a coach, that makes me feel like, you know, I'm putting your kid at risk for injury.
Yeah.
And we just can't continue to do that. I mean, it's been 25 years of that.
Yeah, and the fact that this has been allowed to continue for so long is really unconscionable, in my opinion.
I'm happy that this went through. I'm happy that the Board of Control, the task force, actually looked at some of the data and made this change. It is humongous for the community of Waukesha South. I can't wait until this move happens.
Right.
I think it'll be a lot better. And then hopefully one of these days we're in the playoffs. That's the goal. The goal is not to win state. The goal is to play on an equal playing field.
Right.
So if we do that, hopefully we are in the playoffs eventually. So
no doubt. And, you know, and some of the naysayers, people not from Waukesha that didn't want us to forfeit those last two games.
Yeah.
Suck it up, Buttercup, and this should be character building, all those things. And we were talking about this before the show began. Then how about let's have Arrowhead and Muskego and McGuanago, let's have them play in the same conference as Whitewater for a season and see how that goes.
And see what happens.
Big Ten. You know, it's the same analogy.
Yeah.
Even though, this is high school. Okay, but some high schools have not only larger student bodies, but more affluence, more resources to draw from. Some schools like ours and like North, as you had proven in your article so eloquently, that, in the case of South, it's like just a little more than half of the student body is economically disadvantaged.
Yeah.
And there's also, we have higher rates of disabled students, developmentally disabled students or disabled students versus the other schools in the Classic 8.
Yeah. That's huge.
Yeah.
When you think about that, right, the economically disadvantaged, some of these kids have to go work after school. They have to take care of siblings after school.
Right. They don't have time for extracurriculars.
Yeah, we don't have time.
Not just sports, but performing arts and
absolutely.
All the things.
Yeah,
student government.
The health, right? Are they eating three meals a day?
You know? Yeah.
That's huge. You
know? And that had been determined, I know, like in recent years, that that was a big factor.
Yeah.
And we've done things to try to address that.
Mm-hmm.
So now, March 7th, Board of Control, you'd like to believe it should be a formality, a slam dunk. As an alderman, that was always preached to me that when a committee of experts, especially when they're volunteers, and maybe some of your fellow legislators, when they're coming together with a proposal or a plan, when that comes to the council, that should be a slam dunk.
Should be.
But I know from my own experience in the city council, that hasn't always been the case.
Yeah.
In fact, I even voted against certain committee recommendations because I thought there was a certain bias or that some predetermined things that didn't sit well with me.
Yeah.
What could prevent, or what? Why shouldn't this be a formality? And let me preface this: 43 representatives came, representing schools from on the state and conferences, and almost all of them, to a person, had the same issues that we had. That were just simply, we can't just look at student bodies and geography. We have to look deeper into the demographics of the student bodies to determine more equitable conferences.
Yeah. To be honest with you. And from our standpoint, I believe Pewaukee was moved to the Classic Eight.
Right.
They were probably blindsided, to be honest with you.
Sure.
And I'm sure they're not too happy to be in the Classic Eight.
Right.
However, their economic and the influence of having three current NFL players and one that just retired, he's great.
So right? Dan Schreier thinks there's a fourth that may have come from Pewaukee.
Yeah.
Yeah, I forget the name. I wish I'd remember the name. He told me last night. He's not one of the Watts, but there's three Watts.
Okay. Well, I'll have to figure that one out.
Yeah.
But, you know, the affluent area and everything and, you know, the resources they have, right? And I get it. You know, they're not too happy. But also Waukesha West. That's our third
Waukesha High School.
Yeah, that's our third Waukesha High School. They're not happy.
But, you know, since they were complicit in blocking our efforts to leave the conference, do we not say good riddance?
Yeah. Well, as a head football coach, I can care less about Waukesha West. To be honest with you, I care about our kids and our community.
Sure.
And our community has been suffering through football for far too long.
Right.
You know, football starts the academic season or the school.
Yeah. And Dan Schreier mentioned that in his appeal that it sets off everything.
The tone of the school it will change the climate of the school if you have a winning program.
Right.
If you're a competitive program.
Even if you're competitive.
Absolutely, because kids want to see the game. And, there's a different feel in a building. So I'm happy in that way. But those two components, those two schools are not too happy about it and could have something to say.
Yeah.
However, going back to your original question, I don't see that blocking Waukesha South and North from moving to the Parkland. I see maybe a tweak here, a tweak there.
Yeah.
But to remove us totally, I don't see that happening. I believe this is going to go forward, push forward, which would be great for our community in Waukesha South.
Sure. Because that was leading to my next question, Coach, is, you know, we're looking at who, you know, I was going to ask who would be opposed to this or try to prevent it. And is there anybody else that would have the influence to try to prevent this from going through? Other Classic Eight teams, maybe.
Other Classic Eight teams, I think they understand the need for us to move. Do they want us to move? No, because that's a win that they believe under their belt. Two wins, actually, with North.
Right.
Our Classic Eight commissioner, does he want that to happen? Probably not, because that means there's change coming. He's got to do some different things on his end. He probably doesn't want it, to be honest with you.
Right.
And he used to be our old athletic director who couldn't move us when he was athletic director. So Dan Schreier did a great job in his proposal and putting things together to get us out. So kudos to our AD, Dan Schreier, for doing that. So thank you, Dan. Appreciate it.
Absolutely.
But those different schools, right, they'll be upset. But essentially, that's not going to hurt their program.
Right.
You know, they have the numbers, they have the resources, they've been playing each other, and they've been winning or losing, depending on where they stand. Look at Kettle Moraine.
Yeah.
They lost two or three games in the conference, I believe, but then they won state.
They won state championship,
You know, so it'll hurt the lore, it'll hurt maybe Oconomowoc, definitely hurt Waukesha West,
sure,
because their program is suffering a little bit, because they're down.
Their numbers are going down, and they're starting to experience the same level of injuries that we've had over the years.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So, welcome to our world.
Absolutely, but they've been successful in the past. So
they have, yeah.
Go ahead and continue to play, and then
and they draw from a larger area akin to those other Classic Eight schools.
Well Waukesha West draws from
the
city of Waukesha because we have open enrollment in Waukesha.
Yeah, and then they also have the breakaway Republic of the Village of Waukesha. They've got Vernon and some of those other unincorporated communities, and
absolutely.
So they're very much like KM or Maguanago in terms of what they can take legitimately, and of course what they can poach with the open enrollment,
absolutely.
As you mentioned.
And they do poach a lot. And they have the resources to do it. So whether they admit it or not, I doubt it. But
yeah,
it's been proven.
So, it sure has.
Yeah.
So, you know, I want to mention too. We you'll see in the news that it says that Waukesha South canceled the remainder. The women's basketball team canceled the remainder of its season. They had an injury on Tuesday night. They're down to five players. And what's really happening is they are playing the reserve varsity teams from those schools to finish out the season. So credit to Dan Schreier, who's been working with those other schools to coordinate this. And assistant coach Bailey Gravold will be moving up to head coach and she's going to get help from Coach Bo Richter. On these Saturday games when they get to play reserve varsity teams.
Yeah.
So, again, another great effort by Dan Schreier. And as it relates to football, it shows his willingness to really look out for the kids.
Yeah.
And, you know, keep moving the program forward.
Yeah. But, again, just going back to that's 25 years of, you know, repetitive getting yourself hurt or losing.
Yeah.
And the girls basketball program too. Yeah.
Sure.
There was a time where we were competitive, but it's been a downhill trend.
Yeah.
When
we come back, we're going to talk about the possible future in the Parkland Conference as well as some other issues, including merging the two schools, which has been talked about north and south of the football court. When This Week in Waukesha continues, don't go away. To the birds, turn, and that's in honor of David Crosby, who passed away is yesterday or Thursday. So, but a great musician, inducted into the Hall Rock and Roll Hall of Fame 3 times with the Birds, who you've listened to, Crosby, Stills, and Nash, and Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young. So, an incredible musical career and remarkable life, and one of my favorite songs that David Crosby was a part of. So, and. And very appropriate, we're talking about a time for change, and that's moving south and north football into the Parkland Conference. And during the hearings, I encourage everyone to go to YouTube, and you can look it up. It's entitled, give me a second here, Conference Realignment Appeal Appearances. It's 6 hours, 42 minutes, 15 seconds long. At the four hour and 56 minute mark, you'll hear Dan Schreier's appeal, which was very well spoken. And one of the questions he was asked was about if the two programs, North and South, could merge. And Dan had spoken to that, and I think he'd mentioned many things. One is, I think you would need Classic Eight approval, which you probably wouldn't get. Two is, you know, I think there would also be you need school board approval. But three, what he neglected to mention, or he'd said this last night, what he'd wanted to mention was that you still have the two poorest schools in the Classic Eight. And they still have a lot of those issues of, you know, the demographics will probably still turn out the same if you've got, you know, half the student body that's economically disadvantaged.
Yeah.
There are also costs associated with rebranding the program.
Yeah.
Were you going to be the Black Shirts? Are you going to be the North Stars? And we'd want to remain the Black Shirts. And then who's going to get the coaching? You know, does Coach Wiltz slug it out with the head coach over at North?
I'm too old to do that.
In a public forum?
Yeah.
So, but Well, what are your thoughts? Because I'm sure you've heard people talk about that before.
There's also, where do you practice?
Yeah. You know, right. Operationally, yeah, too. Yeah.
And because obviously you'd have to bus somebody somewhere, right? And yeah. How do you decide that?
Yeah.
Again, like you mentioned coaching. But what you didn't mention is that because of this realignment piece that we're going through, the WIAA would not allow us to merge together for another cycle.
Right.
So by that time, I don't think Waukesha South would have a program.
Sure.
If we continue down this path.
Okay.
So it would be 3 years before we can actually, or 4 years before we can actually combine the two programs. Because this cycle is basically a wash.
Yeah.
You know, and it would it work? Don't know. It's worked in other programs. We have volleyball that we're north and south.
That turned out to be a successful merger so far.
Absolutely. Yeah. We've got swimming that merges everywhere. And, you know, but would it be successful? Not sure. But again, you mentioned the two poor schools with the same demographics and the same issues. So you're going to put them together and then say, go and compete.
Yeah.
Well, let's address some of those issues before we put these two schools together and go and compete. And I believe the Parkland addresses an issue of equity within both programs at this moment.
Great.
And hopefully that'll help us moving into the future.
Yeah.
As far as I believe the goal would be to get all of our programs into the Parkland.
Sure. And I think you've mentioned since it was announced, these proposed revisions have been announced, that already you've experienced a spike in terms of interest from families and young you know, boys. I imagine some girls in the football program.
Absolutely. Interest from our own community, kids that did not want to play because they see what happens on a Friday night.
Sure.
You know, they come to the game and they're like, ooh, I don't know if I want to do this, right? Because it's just not a competitive game.
Yeah.
Also interest from a school that I mentioned before, because we do have open enrollment from 8th grade, 7th grade parents that are supposed to go to Waukesha West.
Okay.
Well, they see the writing on the wall as it is right now that maybe they're going to be at the bottom of a conference when we leave.
Sure.
And I believe that will probably happen.
Yeah.
Well, my feelings are I'm worried about South and not West. So,
Yeah. So fair enough. So, hey, just stepping aside for a moment, in addition to being a coach, you are a businessman.
Yes.
And I don't know if you're aware, but I know you know a lot of small business owners are part of your customer base. But our parent company, Civic Media, has this $1 million giveaway. January 26th is the day, which I believe is next Thursday, right, Calvin?
That is right, Don.
Thank you, sir. And so on that day, and that day only, you can apply to work with the Civic Media team here at Walk Radio to basically get anywhere from $5,000 to $20,000, maybe more, in free advertising. And not just here at Walk Radio here in Waukesha, but throughout the state. Our parent companies, really, they made a big investment. They have probably over a dozen now local stations throughout the state. So if there's other areas of the state that are potential markets for you, or you have customers in that market and you want to develop it further, please take a hard look at this opportunity. It's civicmedia.us/million. But please, you know, contact the station, email me. Many of you have my cell number too. Call to learn more about this. I think it's one of these opportunities you can't pass up, especially again if you want. And whether you are Waukesha business or you're doing business with people in Waukesha, definitely check us out. So
anything that ends in million is a good thing, huh?
Yeah, and you know, and gosh, that you could say a proud sponsor of the Waukesha South football program.
Yeah.
That would really look nice. Yeah. So we'll have to reach out to some of our sponsors from last football season.
That'd be awesome.
To look into that. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, hey, when we return, U.S. Attorney Jim Santel, who shows Morning Cannolis, is next. He's going to drop in on us early and weigh in. He's helped us before with discussing the legal issues surrounding the WIA's actions towards Waukesha South and North and conference realignment. So stick around. Jim's going to join us next here with Coach Wiltz as we continue this very important discussion for the health and safety and fair play of our young students here in the Shaw. Don't go away. Last Monday, we observed Martin Luther King Day, and I learned a really interesting bit of history recently. One of my favorite bands, and being Irish, was U2. And one of my favorite radio stations when I lived in Chicago was WXRT, which really had some great, you know, progressive, independent music. And they had a wonderful DJ there, still working. Terry Hemmert has a really close relationship with all the Beatles except for John Lennon. Didn't get to meet, you know, he was unfortunately passed away before she had to meet him, but someone who's really influenced rock and roll history. And in 1982, she was involved in a peace museum in Chicago, and they were doing an exhibit, and U2 had just put out their album War, and which really touched, you know, impacted Terry. And when they came to Chicago, she invited them to learn about this peace museum and one of the exhibits. And she got people from the museum to meet them at their hotel, and they had brought some exhibits on past exhibits on Dr. Martin Luther King, which included the Unforgettable Fire. And so the very next album, as we know from U2, was Unforgettable Fire, which included tributes to Dr. King, including Pride in the Name of Love. And the fact that in the 80s that the struggle for equality and justice was still going around and around worldwide in peace. And of course, in Ireland and Northern Ireland, there was obviously big issues between Catholics and Protestants. And unfortunately, with Brexit, those issues have kind of resurfaced to a higher level. But anyway, I always love to hear these little bits of history, and I learned about that on Facebook yesterday. But hey, we're about to have Jim Sentell come on, but a very good friend has popped in to give us a special invitation. Amanda Medina-Roddy, say hello.
Hello, everyone. Good morning.
I love seeing Amanda. Every time I run into Amanda, she's always inviting me to something. Last December was an impromptu birthday party for you, and that was a lot of fun. Always great to see your family and your husband, Eric. And well, now we've got... and. You know, we love This Week in Waukesha, I believe. You know, fans have told me it's breakfast for the soul, but what can be better is listening to This Week in Waukesha and enjoying some pancakes. And that's what Amanda's inviting us all to. Tell us about it real quick.
Absolutely. We at the Waukesha Noon Rotary are hosting our 69th annual Pancake Festival.
69th. Wow.
69th. Last year we celebrated our 100th year of a club. So
love it.
We've been doing this for a long time. We're going to be back at the Waukesha Expo, so we're super excited for that. That will be on Saturday, February 4th. The pancakes will begin from 7:30 a.m. until 12:30. We will have local live entertainment, so we'll have that all throughout the day.
Okay.
We have raffle tickets. We have kids' activities. We're super excited to have it.
So it's more than just breakfast.
Oh, absolutely. You can come spend the whole time with us.
And where is it at again?
At the Waukesha Expo Center.
Sounds great. The Waukesha County Expo Center. So we've got two Saturdays from now.
That is two Saturdays from now.
Sounds great. All right.
Tickets can be bought online on our website.
So you can go after you listen to This Week in Waukesha, or you can go and you know, with the Civic Media app on your smartphone, can enjoy the show while you're enjoying pancakes. So
exactly.
Really. Oh, it's going to be a fun Saturday then, on Saturday the 4th.
Yes. Thank you. All the funds that we raise go right back into the Waukesha community.
Love it. I love it. So great. Hey, anything else before we let you go? I know you got to go to work.
Nope, that's it. Thank you so much.
Always great to see you. Thanks so much,
Amanda.
Thanks for dropping off tickets. We owe you some money, so I'll be connecting with Melissa on that. We'll Venmo you or get you the cash. So.
Sounds great. Look forward to seeing everybody in 2 weeks.
You bet. All right. Thanks again, Amanda Medina-Roddy, who is now handing the mic over to our good friend Jim Sentell, getting a little extra work here because he comes on at 9. And Jim has been a great supporter of our young students in Waukesha. And he's been on the show before with South Super Dad, Jared Dable, who's been really active in this effort. And so we've moved the needle. We've overcome a major hurdle in the petition process, which I initially didn't have a lot of faith in. But there were 43 other representatives there representing schools and conferences, with almost all of them with same issues of being playing in an overmatched conference.
Right.
And young people getting hurt, not just physically, but mentally. And so... Jim, let's say on March 7th, the something funny mm-hmm. happens, and they decide not to uphold moving south and north into the parkland. Any legal ramifications?
Sure. First, let me say a pleasure to be with you again, Don. Coach, be with you as well.
Thanks for the cannolis.
Absolutely. We have the real live cannolis in the studio this morning. So delighted to be with you once again. A very serious topic and good always to chat about strategy and process and the ways in which people should be heard. Right, Coach? And,
absolutely.
And that's what this discussion is all about. And so, as you said, the needle has been moved, and that's a very good thing. I know in our initial discussions, as we've said in the past, I'm concerned about whether or not the WIAA would even open the door to that, and that's a very positive sign, obviously, yeah. that they're willing to talk and willing to engage. And the answer, of course, is, as we talked before, about standing and, at the risk of sounding very dark at the outset here, injury. And it is about safety. It's about security, right? Mm-hmm. And so the fundamental notion out there, and of course in the law and generally in the world in which we live in the United States of America, is if you are harmed, if you are damaged by the conduct of other people, there should be remedies. And again, appropriately doing this first through the sort of administrative process, going to the people who can make the decision, can make a change to address those safety and security issues. And if not, to finally get to your question, identifying those people who may have been already significantly harmed by this policy, this failure to change things in such a way that's not only competitive but also safety-based. And I think that's got to be the focus of this first and foremost. Yes, competitiveness is also a very close second, but that safety issue for our young people, that's got to be at the top of the list, right? Yeah. And so the courts, the state courts, sometimes the federal courts, but the state courts should be open to that kind of thing. And if indeed we talk again about damages and standing, gosh, it's difficult to imagine a stronger case for standing than young people who are being injured because of the decisions of adults. Yeah. With respect to sports, which is right. something we should open door for everybody in competitiveness, but also that idea that we promote sports as a way of living and life right. and understanding who we are. So yeah. the answer is to file that petition, put that complaint together, yeah. and challenge whatever decision is made. If in fact it is found to be unfavorable to the great majority of people, maybe not everybody's going to agree with it. Maybe some sure. people will, but okay. figuring out what has been done and determining what the best next step is, the judicial avenue is always out there.
Sounds great. Terrific. And, you know, it may not be easy for you to weigh in from a legal standpoint, mm-hmm. but, you know, as I'd mentioned in my own work as a legislator, some of the best efforts of a committee, the unwritten rule is that, mm-hmm. well, when it comes to the main board or council, it should be a slam dunk. You should really listen to what the experts who've put their time in.
Absolutely, right, yeah. right. And that's another part of the process here in America. That is, you know, even judges always have expert witnesses come in, right?
Right.
Whether medical issues, academic issues,
sure. Sure.
economic issues, communications right. issues, right? What do judges do? They look to the people who really know.
Yeah.
Judges, again, are trained as lawyers,
yeah.
which is not necessarily substance. It's always right. about process and evaluation.
Sure.
So we necessarily rely on people like the coach and others to come in and say, okay, what is this mean practically? Tell me what that means.
Right.
Judges, by their very nature, they don't know everything about everything. And so
right.
you do have to rely on people to come in, the experts, so to speak,
sure.
with a capital E, to tell you both the good, the bad, and the indifferent about those things. And it's on that basis, that informed basis, and that's why this movement forward is very positive. You've got that opportunity to make that case and present to some initial decision makers what the experts and what the people who are really affected by this, what they think, how they feel, and the impact upon them and the young people that we're advocating for.
That sounds terrific. So, Coach Wiltz, any questions you have for Jim here? Any legal issues that concern you from the coaching side of things?
No legal issues. I believe, like you said before, that once you get a committee together of experts, or in this case, a committee of athletic directors, that it's their job to oversee and reevaluate and look for different avenues for programs like ours that struggle.
Right. Yeah.
And then once that goes to the next level, it should be a slam dunk.
Right.
With maybe little revisions here mm-hmm. or there,
sure.
It should be. And if it's not, then in my mind, what happened?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And why did it happen?
Sure.
And if we don't get those answers, then that's where the legal side of it, that's where I think that
sure.
we need to have something happen
mm-hmm.
on the legal side of it, because we never got an answer for the first time that they didn't move us.
Right.
We never got an answer.
Yeah.
Nor that we talked to anyone about that.
Sure.
How does what happened between the first time and this time that you changed us
sure.
to a different conference?
Yeah.
We have the same information.
I like to think we threw Jim Santel's name in the hat as well as civic media.
That may or may not be the wise strategy. I think coach, yours is though, as you say, getting coaches together who deal with us on a regular basis. And I think, you know, it's so terrific to hear you talk about this, just because again, that's the deliberate process, right? When you all get together, I come into a room, I've got my views, but I'm sitting around with 12, 15 other people, including you, Don, others. It may well be that I'm going to leave an hour or two or later and say, okay, I've got a little bit different. I've tweaked this
somewhat. I've learned something.
I've learned something new, and my initial view is not right, or it's got to be adjusted.
Sure.
And so our overall proposal to the WIAA is different from what any single individual might propose, and that's a good thing, right?
And when you have 43 petitions for appeal, I think that speaks volumes to, okay, we really do have to take a serious look at it. We have to reevaluate. There was an expression used that I really liked, and I wish I remembered it exactly, but it was something about, you know, regular season fairness or equity. It wasn't about, and all of them said, we're not interested in winning state titles here or getting better seedings to play. We're talking about fairness in the regular season.
Absolutely. Again, we talked about it earlier. When you have a competitive game, when you have 9 competitive games, right? Doesn't have to win all of them.
No.
The climate in your building changes.
Yeah.
The overall climate.
Of course.
You know, the boys and girls on the team, they feel more confident in themselves.
Right.
And they become more of leaders within the building.
Sure.
And it just changes everything.
It sure
the
does.
Start of your school year. The first season of your school year. It's just
I think of 3 games in particular, and the 2 of them were in your first season as head coach, where it was a team from Janesville, and we win on a last second Hail Mary. It was amazing. It was really fun.
Right. Hey, that's a way to come in as a head coach.
It's also exciting.
Either team could have won.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of what it could have, should have, but it was a close game, evenly matched. The second game, we lost a heartbreaker to Nathan Hale. And then we got to play them next season at their house, a home and home. And we won on a last-second interception. And the lead changed like 5 times in the last 4 minutes.
Yeah.
In the fourth quarter.
Great game.
It was exciting football.
Right.
And even if we had lost that one.
Right.
And that's what Jared Dable said. If the season's still, if we're 2-7, but every game we lose by a point or 2 or 3, there's still some dignity. You know, those young men are thinking, God, if we could have done this or that. They were competing. They were out there.
Right.
It was a fair and equal playing field.
And that intellectual process of going back and watching the tapes the following Monday, right, and saying, okay, that's a part of sporting too, right?
Absolutely.
And you also want to instill those lessons about learning from what you, I don't want to say what you've done wrong, because that seems so judgmental, but what you could do better in the future. That's the great life lesson that sports conveys, right?
Yeah.
In addition to doing good things for your body, your mind, it also sends those great messages.
Yeah.
And that, too, should be a part of this deliberative process, right?
When we're playing in the Classic Eight, we saw a little taste of this last night, where Arrowhead unfortunately beat our black shirts 70-53, although it was close in the first half, 24-21 halftime. You saw men among children in the second half. Mac Recky, who's going to be playing Division One ball, as well as some Division One football guys out there. And men among children. And now you imagine that in the gridiron level, and it's just, it's not a fair, but there's no learning from that.
Sure,
there's just humiliation and serious injury potential.
Right.
All the things we don't want for our young student athletes.
And you think about the long-term impact of that too. If you're consistently, yes, we all lose along the way in life. That's a lesson too, right?
Yeah.
But if as you just said, coach, if every single week the notion is, well, gosh, here we go again, it also discourages you from lifelong sports, right? You say, gee, I'm going to abandon that because it didn't work when I was in high school. I'm going to do it in college. And that too is an impact that can be addressed by courts, and certainly before that, by this wonderful group getting together now to talk about it.
Take a little bit further. It's been 25 years, so some of these parents have gone through South, and they've lost as well. So the message is exactly what you said, right? It started a long time ago, and it's hard for that parent to push their kid to be more successful than they are. at that sport because they've endured the same type of loss.
Coach Darnell Wells, thanks for joining us this morning.
Absolutely.
Hopefully we'll have you back on if the Bills and the Cowboys are in the Super Bowl.
Let's go Cowboys. Here we go. Go Bills.
All right. This week at WalkShot continues. Jim Centel. We're going to talk about some recent school board decisions. Don't go away. Thanks again, Coach. Switching gears for a second, but before we do, I want to share some recent news that I learned from the city. Nine of our parks now have what are known as AEDs, automated external defibrillators, and they're in all-weather AED enclosures, and they're installed at Banting, Lowell, Mendiola, Rotary Building, Higher, Grandview, WRO Complex, Saratoga, and Cutler. And Rotary Building, of course, is Frame Park. So that's exciting news, especially as we know my Bills are doing battle in a very important game against the Cincinnati Bengals. As we know, that Monday night game that they had played that was going to determine a lot of things for the playoffs had to be postponed because a young man named Damar Hamlin had suffered an immediate cardiac arrest early in the game. And thankfully, thanks to some wonderful first response professionals and a lot of prayers, he has recovered and he's on his way to full recovery. And but it's nice to hear that we have things like these defibrillators in our parks here in the community and more opportunities to prevent or to help people when those things happen, help our citizenry. So another in the area of health too is that the United for Waukesha Resiliency Center, which is dedicated to promoting emotional well-being and connecting mental health services to anyone that was affected by the 2021 Christmas parade. Everyone's cordially invited to an open house on Wednesday, January 25th. That's next Wednesday from 5 to 7 to see the new physical location. There will be light snacks, art therapy activities, and opportunities for attendees to share their ideas and visions for the future of the center. That's over at 2000 Pewaukee Road. Sweet R. That's 2000 Pewaukee Road, Sweet R. And so, Jim, thanks for joining us, too. We have time for a brief discussion on a recent school board resolution that made a lot of the news recently regarding teachers' ability to address students by certain gender preferences, a teacher dress code that's been enforced. And, one of the things that was discussed, because we watched this school board meeting, is legal issues. And it didn't even sound like the school attorneys had even had a chance to weigh in on this. And please tell, is it legal to enforce these kinds of things on our teachers?
Right. As I look at this, and again, I come to it, as does the rest of the public, looking in from the outside, if you will. But two things, both of which, Don, are implicit in what you just said, which is one, it's again about process, right? When I got some information about this, I suspect you got the same thing. I sort of a hair on fire email or two, people saying, you know, we don't know where this came from. It wasn't a subject of a previous board meeting. It's coming up on Wednesday. We haven't had a chance to digest it, to take a look at it. And my first cut on this, so to speak, is just about process, right? We live in the United States of America, as we said with the WIAA issue. We want people to weigh in on things. We want people to be heard. And there's a fundamental due process notice issue here about telling people what you're going to do, giving them a chance to respond. And my great concern, I think the concern of many people, putting aside for the moment the substance of this, which is significant and very, very dramatic, just that notion to ensure that the process in this public setting, public schools, is a product of hearing from people in all directions. That's a concern at the outset. And second, of course, there's just going into this issue on parental rights and transparency, the resolution, the as you said, the dress code, There are some language issues here as well that are large enough to drive a truck through. When you talk about things like ensuring that the academic your course of study is conducted properly, age appropriate, without bias or intent to cause harm or disruption. Well, gosh, teachers don't mean to do that at all. Even in the dress code, you talk about practical, prohibitions on political, controversial, or things that distract from student learning. Gosh,
right.
How do you define all of that? And
sure.
Again, that's the process that comes about when you've got people sitting down and talking and giving some definition to those things.
Right.
That's, I see, as the second major issue. And, of course, the third one is perhaps the largest of all, which is issues related to the actual policies themselves.
Yeah. And so another concern, an expert educator I know had told me that reading scores are down, not only in our school district, but perhaps statewide. And so why, you know, what is the appropriateness of our school board to focus on these kind of issues when we've got real basic educational issues?
Other things out there that should be on the table for every school board, every superintendent, every teacher, and I'd like to think once again that they are, whether they're being attended to is a second issue, and that's your point, right?
Yeah.
So they're much bigger things. We often say this in government, too. Let's not focus on the superficial stuff that gets us nowhere. Let's focus on the things that really impact people.
Sure.
This is one of them. You know, there's a portion of this where, once again, we visit the issue related to sports and to bathrooms, those kinds of things. And here we go once again. It goes to this larger issue, which is, I think, also a part of the recent history on this.
Right.
This is packaged, right?
Yeah.
This comes in. This is happening nationwide.
Coming in from
other authorities out there, or maybe non-authorities, if you will,
be more appropriate,
who say, you know, this is what we're doing. Just pass this, and all your problems are taken care of. Well, first of all, there shouldn't be a problem. There should be some agreement on supporting all of our students of great diversity. And second, those other great things out there that need to be attended to are perhaps taking second level as a result of the focus on this.
Right.
When I see something like this coming in, one does not fit all, right? Waukesha is different from Milwaukee, is different from Naperville, Illinois. Name is certainly different for every place around the state. And so this notion of having one that applies to everything across the board, and you're doing it without having local impact, local involvement in decision-making, you're bound to have a product that is not helpful to anybody in the end.
And especially when they add language about encouraging other school boards and encouraging the state legislature, it was like this bigger agenda of let's usher in the Third Reich.
One
of the board members, I think it was Corey Montijo, an attorney, had said, well, that's not a role of a school board to dictate policy for the rest of the world or to weigh in, that shouldn't even be part of this discussion. We all have our politics, but this is, let's just focus this on education.
And again, this notion that the focus on education, as is implicit in this, should be local, again, because of those differences. You can have different policies, but to the extent that you're also saying, now we've adopted this, everybody else should do exactly the same, that's to the same point, which is no, every single school district, frankly, I suspect every superintendent would tell you, principals would tell you, school, the high schools here in Waukesha have different atmospheres,
right?
And so that's why we've got a principal at every single location. That's why we've got teachers who are head of departments making those independent judgment calls about how best to educate, how best to promote the good things that education is all about. And that's also the problem
with
this.
Hey, James Santel, thank you for joining us. Continue with Jim on Morning Cannolis next. And please don't forget the Civic Media $1 Million Giveaway is just 5 days away, Thursday the 26th. Fill out an application and work with our team to take advantage of this fantastic opportunity. Thanks for joining us, everyone, today. And remember, safety is everyone's responsibility. And see ya! Go Bills!